Our first reading for this evening is from the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blasts of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord.' And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Now on the tenth day of the seventh month is the day of atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the ninth day of the month, beginning at evening, from evening to evening, shall you keep your Sabbath.' And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day, besides the Lord's Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feasts of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the 12th chapter of Luke. "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue our recitation of the small catechism with the second petition. What is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we may believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Earlier this week, I saw a video from a Christian pastor here in the United States who was lamenting how our society is right now. And he was very upset. And he had reason to be. I'm not saying he was wrong. So this Christian pastor went basically on quite a bit of a tirade about abortion. Started with that. We're up to, what, roughly 50 million babies murdered in our own country since 1973. And it is terrible. Don't get me wrong. And this pastor continued on a tirade about the current administration allowing the rainbow flag, the LGBTQ flag, to be flown from embassies throughout the world right underneath the American flag. And he's right to be upset. The LGBTQ movement does not allow men and women to live as God has created us to be, biologically. So I can understand why the pastor is upset, to a degree. And then this pastor said, well, I'm going to upset some people here. And then he went on a tirade because his choice for president didn't get to become president. And he was upset about that. So be it. But this was more than just some pastor going on a tirade. Why? Why was he upset? And I can understand being upset. I'm upset about a lot of these things too. But it went deeper for him. You see, he was upset because this Christian pastor thought that God's kingdom here in the United States, our great nation, has been destroyed. Not just our nation. He thought literally, God's kingdom here in the United States is gone. We've lost. It's burning. We're all going to hell in a handbasket, is what he thought. Well, God bless that pastor. I'm upset about many of those things as well. But that pastor could not have been more wrong when it came to God's kingdom. The United States is one thing. God's kingdom is something entirely different. And I pray that we as Lutherans, especially as Lutherans, never lose sight of that. Because we have a gift before us tonight, one of my favorite passages from the Small Catechism in the Second Petition about God's kingdom and how it comes. And I'm so glad and so thankful we have this petition in writing from Luther, because this is the one that gets messed up one of the most amongst all Christianity, and in particular here in the United States. And here's why. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. That's how God reigns. That's how God's kingdom comes. So even if we were to completely abolish abortion in the United States, which I hope we do one day, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden the United States is some great Christian nation. Not at all. Because that's not how God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace, we believe His word. That's where God reigns. So if we take down every LGBTQ flag, which, yeah, I don't think they belong on a pole with the American flag. That's my opinion. But just if we rip all those down, does that mean that all of a sudden we fix all of our woes here in the United States and everyone is a Bible-thumping, believing Christian? We did it. Is that how that works? No. Because God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, and that's His choice. And He gives us His Holy Spirit. Why? So that by His grace we believe His word. And that's how God's kingdom comes. Does God's kingdom come when we get our choice for president in the White House, or get our choice for the right political party, whatever that might be, in the Senate or in the House of Representatives? If we get all three of those branches together with the right people, does that mean this is a Christian nation? Of course not. No, because that's not how God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom, where God reigns, how God's reign, is not bound to a political party or even one particular country. You cannot bind God's kingdom, because God's kingdom comes by the Holy Spirit. And you can't chain that Holy Spirit down. So that by His grace, we believe His holy word. And wherever people are believing God's holy word by grace of that Spirit, that is where God's kingdom is. So God's kingdom is here in the United States, where Bible-believing Christians are who have the Holy Spirit. And God's kingdom will remain in the United States so long as those Christians are here, whether the United States crumbles and falls apart or not. God's kingdom will remain. Whether Canada or Mexico just fall into the oceans and disappear and crumble and their governments fade into nothing, does that mean God's kingdom also went with it? No. Because God's kingdom is found wherever there are Christians who believe God's word and by that Holy Spirit have faith. That's where God's kingdom is. That's why we as Christians know that there are indeed other Christians, even in countries we view as enemies. Saudi Arabia, Russia, China. Oh yes, there are Christians in those countries, as hard as it might be, there are Christians there. Because God's kingdom can't be bound. It can't be stopped by a political group or even a terrible government that wants to get rid of Christianity. No, it can't. You can't stop it. Because God's kingdom, where God reigns, comes through the Holy Spirit and where people believe His word. And we read about that tonight in our Old Testament reading. We were reminded of it. I know it talked a lot about feasts and Sabbath to Sabbath. A lot of it doesn't make sense to us. But the point is this: God ordered his people to have a day in which they were not working, where they were focusing on one thing, God's word. Because that's where his kingdom comes. And God would sometimes make his people actually live it out to a degree, to be reminded that God's kingdom isn't coming through some political power or a great group or through a mighty army. No, God's kingdom comes through the word and the sacraments. So you may have read this, and I'll read this to you. This is the last part, and it might not make much sense to us, but this last part of Leviticus, it says that they're to dwell. Here it is. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. Okay, a booth, you know, a kiosk at a mall. Not much too different from that. Booth, tent, same word in the Hebrew, okay? So the Jews were literally to go live in tents for a week. Camping trip? No, something much greater than a camping trip. They were being reminded of God's kingdom. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths. Your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Every year they literally went camping for a week, living in these booths, these tents, to be reminded of what God did for them, how God carried them out of slavery from the Egyptians, and more importantly, how God nourished them for 40 years while they lived in tents, giving them not only his word, but also bread from heaven. Because that's where God's kingdom reigns. Bread from heaven. We don't have to dwell in booths for 7 days in order to come to the Lord's Supper. Your God is still coming to you, though, through bread, isn't he? Still reminding you that he has done everything needed to save you. You couldn't do it on your own. He did it. In the same way that he forced the Israelites to go camping for an entire week in booths so that they would be very physically reminded that they depend upon God. They don't depend upon their military strength. They depend upon God. They don't depend upon their political power, which party is in power in their kingdom. No, because God's kingdom comes differently. And God wanted to remind them of that in case they forgot. God wanted them to remember that as evil as the countries are in this world, that doesn't matter. His kingdom isn't going to be stopped by them. Whether through it's a government that hates Christians or a government that is overly liberal, it doesn't matter. That can't stop God's kingdom from coming. Because God's kingdom doesn't come that way. It comes through the quiet ways of his word and his sacraments. I've been all over the world, 27 countries at my last count. And in every country I went to, that was there. God's word and sacraments. One kingdom. Many, 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 many countries. You can't keep God's word out with a border wall. You can't lock it up and say you can't come in. No, God's kingdom reigns through this entire world. Even though there are times we may grow upset with our own country and saddened at trajectories our country takes, we should be. And within our own political sphere, do what we can in our country. But never allow yourself to become misguided in thinking that God's kingdom is also getting thrown out at the same time. Nothing can be further from the truth. And I pray that we as Lutherans especially remember that because of this portion of the catechism. Other denominations don't have this. They don't have this sound theology which matches with the scriptures. But we do. Not only in the scriptures, but you have it right here. And it should be a great comfort to you, knowing that nothing in this world can stop your God from coming, from bringing His Holy Spirit, and by working through word and sacraments. Nothing can stop Him, and nothing ever will. So I pray that all of us are invigorated, knowing and believing that God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace, we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. Because that's how God's kingdom truly comes. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.